if I say, okay, let's say my parents are Germans. They moved to America, get married, conceive me, and I'm born. Can I legitimately say, I'm from Germany? No, I can't. I can say my parents are from Germany. I cannot say I am from Germany. I was not born in Germany. So, if Jesus Christ was never from heaven or in heaven, how could he be from heaven? That's a good point. I've thought about that. And there's more to that. We'll catch up with that a little later. I'm not done with this subject yet. I will probably write a paper on it because I consider it fairly important. Philippians 2, 6-7. Who, being inherently in the form of God... What? Inherently in the form of God? Deemed it not pillaging to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking on the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity. I didn't write it down. I believe that's concordant. The American Standard Version. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. Notice it. This is not a normal person being born. He's first emptied of something he had. You can't empty something that isn't something. You can't empty a bucket that has nothing in it. He emptied himself. God didn't force it upon it. Again, I said all through the scriptures, you're going to see, he volunteered. He emptied himself and was made for a little while, just 33 years, lower than an angel, so that he could die. If he were just a man, just a normal human being, he didn't have to be made anything. He would naturally die. Or if they stuck a spear in his side, for sure he would die. But no, Jesus had to be made that low, or he couldn't die. So this idea of God can't die. No, not unless some drastic change takes place in him. He had to empty himself of those powers that would never allow him to die. But he could voluntarily give them up for a little while. Now, Rotherham. But himself emptied, taking the servant's form, coming to be like men in likeness. Young's literal translation. But did empty himself, the form of a servant having taken, in the likeness of men having been made. Okay? The emphatic diaglot. But divested. He divested. People who are born aren't divested. They aren't emptied. They aren't made. And they don't do anything by themselves. But emptied himself. But himself emptied. But he did empty himself. What unborn baby ever did anything by himself? You see what I'm saying? I don't care where you take this. Anywhere you go, Jesus Christ is not just a man. He's not. Okay, let's continue. Emphatic diaglot. But divested himself. Divested means to strip, as like taking off your clothing, to deprive, as of rights, to free of, to rid of, to divest of, to deprive of a title. Huh? Did Christ have a title and he gave it up for a little while so he could die? That's part of this emptying, this divesting, to deprive of a title or a right. Okay. If Jesus Christ were nothing but a human being, he did not have to be conceived by God. He did not have to empty himself. He did not have to be made lower than an angel so he could die. All men die. You see? Just pay attention to the words. Okay, I need the book now. Mr. Buzzard says, he has a footnote on page 191 where he makes a comment from a dictionary about Revelation 3:14, where it says Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God, or the concordant translated, God's creative original. Now that is a profound scripture. I mean, that's one of those really profound scriptures. Okay? That is not a false translation or anything. Right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ. The beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning. He's the beginning and the beginner. All things were created through Him. We'll get to those scriptures too. Now, that deserves about 10 pages. Okay? This book I have is about 460 pages. Book could have been written about 67 pages. I mean, you talk about repeating. It's so redundant, it's pitiful. But he spends paragraphs, dozens and dozens of pages on redundant things. Some of them is not even scriptural. Now we have a scripture that talks about Jesus Christ being the original beginning creation of God. And you know how he takes care of that? You think he spends 5 or 10 pages explaining how that doesn't mean that he was in the beginning even? He's the beginning of God's creation. He's the beginner of God's creation. But he wasn't in the beginning. You know how he takes care of that? Like I say, there's 10 or 12 pages of explanation going through that, showing us that, you know, this has nothing to do with Christ being anything more than just a human being. I'll tell you how he takes care of that. In a footnote. My mind doesn't work like everybody else's mind. You're going to learn that one day. He takes care of that. He wipes it out in a freaking footnote. He says, he talks about, he says a quote here about Revelation 3:14. Then he's got an asterisk or something, and you look down below, and he's got the Dictionary of the Apostolic Church, and because I'll have to bring the book tomorrow, and it says something to the effect that some think that this is speaking that Christ was the original creation of his Father. That's it. One of the most profound scriptures in the whole Bible, he wipes it out with a freaking footnote. Now I get angry when I see stuff like that. I just read you all these translations how Christ emptied himself. He divested himself. You know, he was made lower. He came down from up here. He came down. He was from heaven. You know, like you were saying, you know, the second Adam is from heaven. And he emptied himself. And there's a scripture that says that in Philippians. How does he handle that? Does he spend 10 or 20 pages on such an incredible verse as that and try to explain that away? How do you think he handles that scripture, that very profound and marvelous scripture? How do you think he handles it? With another freaking footnote. So the fact that Jesus Christ was the beginning of God's creation, emptied himself to become lower than an angel so that he could die, all that deserves is two lousy footnotes. Now, I'm not angry with Mr. Buzzard, but his theology stinks. John 17. We'll have to wrap it up here pretty quick for tonight, I guess. Chapter 17, these things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give aeonian life to as many as you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, you know what Mr. Buzzard does with that? Oh, that just means that God had it in his mind to glorify his Son thousands of years later when he did come. He had it in his mind to do that. Why would you say that? That's not what the scripture says, so why would you say that? Because they despise these scriptures. These scriptures do not agree with their heresy. There's no bad translation there. Read 100 translations. They all say the same thing. Glorify you me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Verse 24, Father, I will that you will also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, but only in his mind's eye, because he didn't even exist. He loved him, but he didn't even exist. Do you see the problems you run into when you refuse to believe the Word of God? We'll do a few more here and then we'll wrap it up for the night. You can't do anything with that verse. He said, Lord, now I've done the work. I did what you sent me here to do. He commissioned Jesus Christ to go to earth and become the Savior of the world. He did it. Okay? Now he said, God, it's finished. I've done it. Now please, give me back the glory that I had with you from the beginning of the world. And you try to fit that in with, he never had any glory with God before the foundation of the earth. He never had any. It's a lie. John 6:38. What makes this book so bad is he's really doing two things. One, he's exposing this unscriptural heresy of the Trinity. And that's true. It needs to be exposed. But along with it, he is demeaning our own Savior. And that's not to be done. Let's see. Where am I? I think I said John 6:38. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, what are you going to do with that scripture? Jesus Christ said, I came down from heaven. How can you come down from heaven if you were never there? Me and my friend had a little tit-a-tat about, I said something about Christ was going to go back to heaven, and he rightly said, the Bible doesn't say he went back. There's no word back. It doesn't say he went back. No, but it doesn't have to say back. There are other ways of saying going back without using the word back. Let me give you an example. I went to Pennsylvania for my 50s class reunion a month ago, 5 weeks ago, whatever. And then I returned home. Okay, now if that's all the information I gave you, you would still know, or you should know, that I went back, even though I didn't say it, right? How would you know I went back? How do you know that wasn't the first time I went to Pennsylvania? I went for a class reunion. I would hardly graduate from high school in Ohio and go back for my reunion in Pennsylvania. Okay. So, you don't have to say you went back. But the truth of the matter is I did go back, you see. But just because you don't say I went back is not proof that's not where I came from. I could say I went to Pennsylvania. And that's true. That's true. That's a true statement. But that doesn't contradict the fact that I also came from Pennsylvania, and therefore when I went to Pennsylvania, I was going back to Pennsylvania. Okay? Keep that in mind. So Jesus Christ said, I came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. There's another phrase. He sent me. From where? From heaven. Okay. Okay, now we're going to get more specific. So we don't want to quabble about this word went back. John 6:62. He said in verse 67, he's talking about he's that bread of life. He says, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up? He's talking about heaven, you know. He says, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. How many of those verses do you need before you believe them? Where did Jesus Christ come from? Heaven! Where between His human birth and His crucifixion did He ever go to heaven and come back? Where? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Okay? Verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Okay? Verse 62. What and if you see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? He came from heaven. You can't get around it. Jesus Christ came from heaven. And he came emptied and was impregnated in a woman through the Spirit of God and took on flesh and was lowered to that below an angel even, so that he could die. This is not your everyday Jewish boy. In John 51, we read that. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now, John 3:13. I mean, how many scriptures do you want till you believe it? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. How clear is that? Where did he come from? He came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. You see that phrase, which is in heaven? It ain't in the manuscripts. That's a slur that came from a margin somewhere. That is not in the Greek manuscripts. It should read, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Period. Where did Christ come from? Heaven. Is he going back to heaven? Yeah. Yes, he is. He's going back to heaven. The Diaglot says, and no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who descended from heaven. Period. See, they didn't put that which is in heaven. It's not part of the Scriptures. And you can't come up with some stupid theory about how, well, it was the sperm of God that came down from heaven. That's not Jesus. The sperm is not Jesus. And besides, there's not any suggestion that Jesus Christ was conceived by a spiritual sperm. He was miraculously conceived. Doesn't say it had to be a sperm. I mean, God could conceive Christ as a child any way He wanted to in the mother's womb. Did not necessarily have to be. I mean, it's already a miracle for crying out loud. Say, yeah, but it only can be done through a physical sperm. I don't think so. John 3:31. I mean, how many scriptures do you want? He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of earthy things. He that comes down from heaven is above all. Who came down from heaven? Jesus did. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God give not the Spirit by measure unto him. I like this one here. I mean, you cannot even fathom how much you can learn from God's Word if you will do one thing. Pay attention to all the words. John 14. Well, you heard these scriptures all your life. Now let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believing also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or offices, or abodes. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. What can we learn there? Is there anything there? Come again. Come again. Did you catch that? This man did. Come again. I will go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. The Greek word is palin. Sarah Palin. Through the idea of oscillating repetition. Happening again and again and again. Okay? Adverbially anew. That is of a place. Go back. Go back. Of time. Once more. Again. That's what that word means in the Greek. You can't go back to heaven again. I mean, you can't come back to the earth from heaven again unless you did it before. Am I going too fast? It's possible for Christ to go to heaven and return. But it's not possible for Him to say, I'm going to do it again. If He never came from heaven in the first place, you see. Now, the word palin appears in the Greek scriptures 147 times. Okay? I checked all 147 verses. And with no exceptions, palin is always translated again. Once more. A repetition. Okay? Alright, I'm not going to go through this, but you know, in John 8:58, he says, I am. In Exodus, you know, when Moses said, who shall I say, son? He said, I am sent you, I am. Of course, in the King James, they have, I am He. What kind of nonsense is that? Before Abraham was, I am He. I am He what? What do you mean, I am He? You know, when they went out in the garden after the Last Supper, they were looking for Jesus. And Jesus saw this band of merry men with their clubs and stuff. He said, who do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And they all fell down like dead. What? Think about it. Pay attention to all the words. If they were looking for Jesus and he said, I am Him, or I am He, why would they fall down like they were dead and terrified? That's who they were looking for. He said, yeah, that's me. Oh my God! Fall over dead. These aren't believers who are falling over in reverence and worship. These people come out to kill Him. You see, that's what He said? That's me. Why did they fall over like they were dead? Because He must have said that with some kind of earth-shaking authority. And He didn't say, that's me, or I am Him, or I am He. He said, I am. And they knew what that meant. They read their Bibles. They don't mean any other reason why they fell down like dead men. Okay, I think I think we'll end with that. And tomorrow, I'm pretty much done with my notes. Tomorrow, I will take us through the book because I really want to show you something interesting. I really want to show you something. I want to see if anybody in here can catch it. I caught it right away, but that's because I'm a spiritual genius. But... I pray for God to give me understanding. When I read the Bible, or I'm studying somebody's book or article, I'm not doing it for my help. I want to know. And since I'm a teacher, I have to know how to teach. Now, I can't teach something if I don't believe it, or I don't know what I'm talking about. I want to know. Now, I beg God to show me. Show me what this means. If this man is right, show me. Let me see it. And if he's not, let me see that. I want to know the truth. I don't have any ego to protect. I'm supposed to have been dead a year ago of cancer. What kind of ego do you think I'm trying to protect? I got some great ego I got to protect? I'm a dead man. I want the truth. I'm not afraid to admit it if I'm wrong. Why would I be afraid to admit I'm wrong? I've been wrong about lots of things. But since I've been writing for Bible Truth, I have not made any big mistakes that I know of. None. No big mistakes. No giant doctrinal flaws. Not that I know of. I don't know of any. Little things. Nothing really big. So I have no axe to grind. But I'm at the place where I firmly believe Jesus Christ was not just a man. Or an ordinary man, or totally a physical, biological man with nothing divine about him whatsoever. I don't believe that. I believe in my heart of hearts that our Creator Himself died for us. Not God the Father, our Creator. Think about that tonight. If you were God and you made humanity, or you made it through someone else like His Son, Jesus, and He wants the people to understand the severity of sin and evil, so that He makes a regulation that if you sin, the penalty for that is death. Okay? And now, He's going to make a way that they, although we still die, we will not die forever. We'll be resurrected back to life, and eventually all humanity will be changed into spirit, with spiritual bodies, and live in harmony and order for all eternity. So now you need a way to justify the fact that you're going to have mercy on this humanity and let them live after all, but not without great sacrifice. So He says, let me see, how will I do this? I'm not going to get my hands dirty. Jesus. Guess what? You are the honored chosen one. I'm going to kill you for the people. How do you think of that? You do it. You do it. Think about it. It doesn't quite seem fair somehow, does it? First of all, couldn't God have come up with some better plan? Maybe nobody had to die, you know? But it was determined that Jesus Christ is going to die for His creation. But it certainly wasn't forced upon Him. I showed you time and again. He volunteered. He emptied Himself of His power and glory, divinity and majesty. He emptied Himself to be made for a little while, 33 years, lower than an angel, so He could die. I believe that with the wisdom of their minds, there was no conceivable act that would prove to humanity any possible greater love that God has for His creatures. He said, we'll die for them. We'll die for them. Did He have to die? No. Why would He have to die? Is there some demonic force out there? Some Darth Vader that says, well, you know, somebody got to die, Lord. I want to see a sacrifice. I want to see some blood. I want some blood here. Who made that rule? God did. He makes the rules. He can break the rules. That's the golden rule. Then they got the gold, make the rules. God owns all the gold. So, there's something special. You know, what seems foolishness to the world. Hang on the cross, that saves humanity. How so? He's the creator of humanity. He volunteered. So I will die for my own creation. And in that sense, it was Christ's creation if He created. And we'll look at Colossians and some of those scriptures. It just doesn't make any sense at all that some Jewish boy could grow up and become the Savior of the world, and there's nothing special about him. You know, just another man. Why is his life worth that of 50 billion other human beings? But the life of the Creator. Now we're talking something. We're talking heavy duty stuff here. Big time. And you know, I think if you meditate on that for some time, like I have, you begin to realize just what an incredible sacrifice that was. And it didn't have to be. Didn't have to be. It was a volunteered thing. You know? Christ said, greater love has no man than he would lay down his life for his friend. Okay? But that's usually under a situation where he has to lay down his life or his friend will die. You know, like soldiers will sometimes throw themselves in a hand grenade and let it blow up their own body. That happened just a few weeks ago in Iran, where a man jumped on a grenade and let it blow his guts out to save the men around him. But with Jesus, he didn't have to die. I mean, there, God can save humanity without anybody having to die on the cross to do it. Why did He do it? To show us how much He loves us. I mean, when there's no reason, I mean, when there's no real compunction that something needs to be done, and you volunteer to do it just because you want to prove somebody your love, I mean, that's pretty profound. That's pretty profound. So this cannot be accomplished with just some ordinary man. So he had, but he had to suffer like a man so that nobody can ever say, well, yeah, God, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You wouldn't know a hard day's work. No how. You know, you just say, let it be, and then it be's. I have to work my fingers off. You know, I have to sweat and break my fingernails and cut myself. You know, what does God know about a hard day's work? Nothing. And I talked about that last year, didn't I? So, this is an amazing thing that God did. I mean, He had it all planned out. But imagine that. The greatest creation in the universe, His only begotten Son, He's going to sacrifice Him. It wasn't a matter of, well, you do it, Lord. I don't want to do it, you do it. Any parent knows that if their child is put in a situation where they're going to be hurt or tortured, the parent would much sooner trade places than to see that child tortured to death. So you think it didn't? There was no skin off the Father's nose, so to speak, over this? No, he emphasized his only begotten Son. And notice he doesn't say Mary's only begotten Son. His. God said that boy was his. That was his boy. He's special. He's God's boy. Okay? All right, we'll see you tomorrow.